Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a hearty and warm welcome to the weekly Tuesday afternoon edition of the Women's Weekly, a program dedicated to women, and I'm your host, Sister Mara. It's a special Hajj edition, a Sister's Guide to Hajj Part 4, and co-hosting with me during the first segment is Sister Zakira Ansar Mia. And in our second segment, we're discussing bidding farewell to the Hujjaj, a symbol of love. Now, the Cape Malay community have a traditional way of bidding farewell to the Hujjaj, and Sister Fahima, my colleague, and Sister Tasneem, who is from Cape Town, will be telling us more on how this farewell is done. Well, it's coming up in the second segment of the program at around 2:30. In the meantime, let's join Sister Zakira. Assalamu alaikum, Zakira. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Samara. Alhamdulillah, I'm well, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well also, and this is my last program, last Tuesday program for the Women's Weekly, before I depart on the journey of a lifetime. That's the journey of Hajj, inshallah.
Oh, Sister Mara, you really, really give us to feel very, very envious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your journey an absolutely remarkable, memorable, spiritually enhancing one, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Zakira, last week we actually discussed, you know, on the sisters in the haram of the Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes. And are we going to continue from then, or you want to go on to the Makkah, on the Tawaf segment?
I feel that, inshallah, we could move over to the Tawaf, inshallah, because last week we discussed quite a bit on Madinatul Munawwara. But before we do the Sister Mara, you know, like we normally do, where we give them a little bit of we tell them a bit about the various places in Mecca and Medina, so when they go there, they know a bit more about it. In my program yesterday, I spoke about the Kaaba itself, so I just wanted to go through three little aspects about the Kaaba short, and inshallah then we will move on to the next to the part about actually the females in the Haram of Mecca, inshallah.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so inshallah what we will be discussing today is about the Mu'tazam, the Hatim, and the Ruknul Yamani. So for you to correctly understand what your Tawaf is all about, or how you're going to be making it, you have to know where all these various places are. In yesterday's program, we spoke a bit about the Hajar al-Aswad, and I explained to you how it became encased, etc. And today we're going to speak about the Mu'tazam. Where's the Mu'tazam? Well, the Mu'tazam is the area between the Hajar al-Aswad and the door of the Kaaba. This area is approximately 2 meters. Why call the Mu'tazam? Because this area is where the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged us. The word Mu'tazam comes from the Arabic word iltazama, which means to stick one's body against something or to join to something. So this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged us. That when in this area, we should try and get close to it. Obviously, for the females, without any pushing or shoving, if you can get close to it, then by all means. And when we place our chests against this part of the Kaaba, we should do this and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we go on to the area that's called the Hatim. As I mentioned in yesterday's program, the Hatim was originally part of the Kaaba in previous eras when it was built. But later on, as the time went on and the Quraysh rebuilt the Kaaba, what they did is they used no money that was from, they used only pure money. No money was used from looting or gambling or anything like that, and therefore they had fallen short, and therefore to demarcate that this area was also part of the Kaaba still, what they did is they built a small wall around it. It is also known as the Hijra Ismail, because it is mentioned that this was the place where Hajar and Ismail alayhi salam were left, right? When Ibrahim alayhi salam came and left them in Makkatul Mukarramah for the very first time, this is where they were left. So yes, the small wall around the Kaaba is known as the Hatim. If you get a chance of actually going and making Salah inside this Hatim, then try and get as close as possible to the Kaaba, because then it would be as though you have performed Salah inside of the Kaaba. But again, I'm reminding the sisters, it's a busy period, it's a time of Hajj. Let's not push and shove and all of this just to get inside here. when in actual fact there will be more sin and more damage caused on ours. Like, you know, you may end up coming out of there bruised and, you know, having rubbed shoulders with men, etc. So if you can, alhamdulillah, but if you can't, then not necessary. But this is also one of the places that we can try and get into.
Okay.
The last that we're discussing for today is the Ruknul Yamani. The Ruknul Yamani is the side of the Kaaba that is opposite to the Hajarul Aswad. It is the side of the Kaaba that faces Yemen, hence the name the Ruknul Yamani. Right? And Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu reports that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Istilam of the Hajarul Aswad and the Ruknul Yamani atone sins. Mujahid says that du'as made while placing the hand on the Ruknul Yamani are also accepted. And yes, this was a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has also taught us that when walking between the areas of the Ruknul Yamani and the Hajarul Aswad, we should read the following du'a. And that is, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. So that is what we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And Zakira, questions come in now. They said, what happens if that if your tawaf is so full? Should you go ahead make a tawaf because you don't want the touching of men and women?
Okay, so for the females, generally what should be done is you go with a male to make tawaf. Mm-hmm. Why am I saying this? Because generally when the men make tawaf with us, then the path becomes easier. And what my husband and I used to normally do is you walk in front of him and he walks behind you. So as you are walking and he's walking behind, you know what tends to happen is a path tends to be open, you know, because now you two of you walking together along. And obviously when you're walking and it's really full also and you feel the need to hold hands or perhaps hold on to his kurta or whatever, by all means you can do this, right? But remember that when we are doing all of this also, we must remember that tawaf is very much like salah.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are, like how when we perform salah, our intention, our concentration, all of this needs to be solely and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's not lose sight of this.
Okay.
And then, to answer your question, Samara, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Try for the females to go to the very edge and make your tawaf. When I say the very edge, the outer circles. Why? Because the outer circles are normally less busy, and by making tawaf on the outer circles, you're not going to get as pushed and shoved. Or even if you want to go now, alhamdulillah, they've made so many layers, you know.
Yes.
So even if though the ones up, the upper layers are more full, don't feel that, you know what, I'm not going to go upstairs because it's fuller and it's a bigger circle and all of this. Rather go and make it upstairs.
Then another question has come through, Zakira, where the sister says, can I make tawaf with a short burqa or a long burqa? Which is preferable?
Okay, speaking about a short burqa and a long burqa, again, this is the person's prerogative, right? At the end of the day, you must remember that your aura needs to be covered. So whether it's going to be a short one or whether it's going to be a long one, this is not of essence, but rather what you are comfortable in and what completely covers your aura. If you are wearing a abaya, you know, that's already a cloak, you know, that's already covering till your wrist, your arms, and your neck is all covered and everything, then a short burqa is sufficient. But obviously, if you're wearing, some of us, you know, when you go there, you wear these samiras, we call it the samiras, you know, the caps is underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to wear that underneath, and obviously you're going to have to wear the long burqa because then your arms are going to be exposed if you wear the short burqa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anything that will ensure that your aura is properly covered.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Then, Zakira, another question here. I think we're doing more female masail, but alhamdulillah, we all can learn from that. Should a female wear socks when making tawaf, or can she go on bare feet?
Okay. She can go bare feet because we don't have any restriction with regards covering our feet, right? The Shafi'i woman, remember that even though tawaf is like salah, or at least socks are necessary when performing the salah, right? For the Shafi'i woman, that is. Whereas in tawaf, socks are not necessary. But you will see that with some women, especially if you're a bit older and you're going, the marble can tend to be very cold, the marble,
yes,
of the bath that is. So if you feel that you're, you know, this cold that's going to enter your feet is going to affect you later on, then by all means wear the socks. Just one little tip over there would be that do remember that sometimes when people drop water, like maybe they're drinking Zamzam as they're making tawaf and so forth and so on, and when you are wearing socks, it can tend to be very slippery. So please be very careful. And some of our, you know, some of us as women, we like to wear the stockings, you know. That makes it even worse. So please, my sisters, do keep this in mind. There's actually a tawaf sock that they sell there. You know, it's like that kiddie's sock. It has the little rubber rising underneath. That, from my own personal experience, is something very nice to wear while making the tawaf.
Okay. Then, Zakira, another question comes through here. Are females allowed to actually take medication to stop their menses? Now, I know, Zakira, before you even answer that, it's a very lengthy discussion. And maybe we can discuss it maybe in the next week's program. I know you'll be sitting in for me on the Tuesday afternoon programs as well. So stopping the menses and how to go about taking it and that. So that you are allowed to do it. I know I've discussed it with Mufti, and you are allowed to actually stop your menses within that period of your Umrah, of your Hajj time. Yes.
Yes, you are.
And that is a bit of a lengthy discussion, so I think you need to focus more on the female masail one, inshallah, next week, because many ladies actually get quite confused with that.
So Samara, actually, you know, there are two aspects of that. One is the Shara'i aspect, and I always tell the sisters this, and I have a bit of a chuckle when I tell them this, because one is the Shara'i aspect and one is the medical aspect. Remember that whatever we are doing, at the end of the day, our body is in Amana. So if we are going to be doing these things, let's speak to a doctor at length and understand all the ramifications that go with taking medication to stop your haze, okay? So inshallah, as you said to Samara, to very briefly answer the question, yes, it is permissible, but inshallah, if the sister would like to contact me for a bit of a more lengthy answer, then by all means she can do so, or if the sisters would just simply like to listen in on next week's program, then by all means that too is fine.
Inshallah, inshallah. Zakira, you may continue. Yes, we're actually talking about the tawaf, and then the Salah aspect as well, you know, I think prior to the days before Hajj, those who start moving to Azizia, you find that it's very, very full. So should women read the Salah in the hotel room, or should they go to the Haram? And the sister said she needs to know the reward of reading Salah in the hotel room and the reward of reading Salah in the Haram.
Subhanallah. Sister, you know, someone said something to me once that really got me thinking. In fact, it wasn't personally to me. It was to my late mother-in-law when we went on the last Umrah and she was quite sick. A doctor had come in to see her and she was quite sad about the fact that she couldn't visit the Haram. And she said to her, remember, auntie, that even sitting here in your hotel room, we are in the Haram itself. Because every place in Makkatul Mukarramah, think about it this way, the Prophet ﷺ's feet touched that ground that he walked on. So wherever you are in Makkatul Mukarramah and in Madinatul Munawwara, never ever forget the sacredness of these places that we are. So even if you cannot go to the Haram per se, and if you are performing your Salah in your hotel room, then even then, my personal view is that you will receive the reward of having performed your salah in the Haram, right? And also, if I were just to add to that, remember that as it comes closer to the days of Hajj, it's going to become more and more full. And especially if you are living in Makkah, right until just before you go and you haven't moved to Azizia like the others, then what tends to happen is those that are coming from Azizia or wherever else on the outskirts that they are staying, they tend to come and stay for a few salahs on one, you know. So they maybe come from Asr and they stay till Isha and then they return back. So all the more reason why the Haram is so busy even in between the salah periods. So there's no sense me telling you that go earlier, because even then, if you're going to go earlier, then it's still full, right? And I'm speaking about when it comes to very close to Hajj. Yes, alhamdulillah, for those of you going for the 5 and 6 week packages, just make sure that you leave early enough to the Haram and inshallah you'll get a nice spot. Don't sit in the entrances, don't sit in hallways, all these kind of things, because remember the likelihood there of brushing past men and of them being able to see you, and you know, salah times also immediately when the salah is finished, of you becoming an obstacle to people leaving and entering the haram. We don't want to do all these things. Mm-hmm. So try and ensure that if you want to be if you want to get a decent spot, then there's some sacrifice required. Mm-hmm. And you know, Samara, the fact that we always advocating that try and read one Quran in Makkah, try and read one Quran in Medina, what better way to do it?
Absolutely, yes.
Go and for Salah and then read Quran.
Second, read your Quran, yes. Zakira, we're going to go for a break now, and I'm going to actually bid farewell to you, and I must say Jazakallah Khair for actually sitting in for me in my programs as well, and we request your du'as as well.
Yes, of course. So Zamara, if I could just add one little
thing. Sure.
The sister that asked me this query, and it just came to my mind now.
Mm-hmm.
About following, you know, some of the hotels have the speakers inside, so you are, it is as though you are reading Salah with the Imam of the Haram, but he's standing in your hotel.
Yes.
Often this happens in the Zamzam Towers and in
Hilton.
Hilton. So quickly to answer that, sisters, remember that if the saf is continuing from inside the Masjid al-Haram, continuing, and it comes right till there, then it is totally fine.
Hmm.
But if there is a discontinuation of the saf, then you cannot follow. So if you are standing inside your hotel room, up on the 7th or 8th floor, and now you are reading from there, and you think you are going to follow the imam, that is not fine.
Mm.
But when you are standing in the foyer, and you can see the saf is continuing from inside the masjid coming out, then that is fine.
Mm.
So there was just a quick clarification there. And to Sister Amara, as I said in the beginning of the program, we really, really do envy your lot and all those going for Hajj, because if you've been there once, your heart yearns to be there again and again.
Absolutely.
So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your journey a very, very easy one, the travel that is, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your ibadah and all your du'as, and inshallah return you back to your family safe and sound.
Ji, amin. Jazakallah wa khair. And Zakira, we still will be linking up with one another, inshallah, from Medina and from Makkah as well. I will still be on air just for a few minutes as well.
Yes, absolutely. So even in next week's program and the weeks to come, the listeners can expect to hear snippets from Sister Amara live out of the Haramain, inshallah.
Inshallah, amin. Jazakallah, Zakira. Assalamu alaikum.
Barakallahu fiq, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Sister Fahima and Sister Tasneem, and we're discussing bidding farewell to the Hujjaj, a symbol of love. Stay tuned.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects, namely building of masajid, madaris, schools and dawah programs for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lilla, sadaqa and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall, or 31 Protea Avenue, Lanesia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Sedgar's, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies-branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgar's, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenoff. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-6011. 7905.
Santak, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Kuku Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022 and receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In Lichtenburg, on Tuesday, the 18th of August, 94 Kismet Avenue, contact 018-632-3186 or 083-786-3586. In Rustenburg, on Wednesday, the 19th of August, 83 Holker Street, opposite the school, contact 082-897-7863 or 018-538-1656. Technicians for the miscellaneous regions are Abed Varaji 079-810-4390 or Isa Kanda 078-675-5425. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
खुशबूए पे हम आती है बैठा हूँ मस्जिद नबवी में यूं सांसें महकी महकी है बैठा हूँ मस्जिद नबवी में यूं सांसें महकी
And this is the second segment of the program, and we're bidding farewell to the Hujjaj, a symbol of love. And I've got Sister Fahima, my colleague here in the studio with me, and I've got Sister Tasneem on the line who is from Cape Town, and both Sister Fahima and Sister Tasneem will be telling us more about how the Cape Malay community actually have a way of bidding farewell to the Hujjaj. So let's welcome Fahima. Assalamu alaikum, Fahima. How are you this afternoon?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Amara. Shukran for having me and a very warm welcome to the listeners.
Jazakallah for joining me, Fahima. You know, we're always working on other ends, on paperwork and things like that. But today is something different, yes, alhamdulillah. So I'm actually delighted to have you in the studio with me. And we go to Sister Tasneem, who's online. Assalamu alaikum, Tasneem. How are you this afternoon? Tasneem, can you hear me? Tasneem? Assalamu alaikum, Tasneem. Okay, I'm going to ask the engineer to get hold of Tasneem again and just to try it again. In the meantime, Fahima, let's just. I know the Cape Malay community have a way of actually bidding farewell to the Hujjaj. Tell us all about it.
Gee, Apa Mara, the Cape Malay Muslims have a very rich heritage. And with all the heritage that they've have in their life, they've loved to maintain it.
Okay, Fahima, let's, I think we've got Tasneem back online. Assalamu alaikum, Tasneem. Assalamu alaikum. Tasneem, can you hear me?
No, I can't hear very well. The line's quite bad.
Can you hear me now?
Very softly.
Okay, Tasneem, are you on your cell phone?
No, I'm on the landline.
Okay, can you hear me now?
See, I can, but very frankly.
Okay, I'm going to get my engineer to please put down the call, your phone, and I'm going to get my engineer to actually call you back again and see if we can get you on a better line. Okay, let's go for a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Tasneem and Fahima once again. Stay tuned.
With Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nifl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for Deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370 137 Rose Avenue, Lanasia. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar.
Allah is the greatest.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Venezia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, our team will be in Roshni on Tuesday, the 18th of August, on Mukhtar Avenue. Contact number 079-138-4961. Technicians for the Gauteng region, Ibrahim Shah, 079-138-4961. Molana Ibrahim Pirali, 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai, 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan, 061-257-5789. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
This is Women's Weekly on Radio Islam International.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. Well, unfortunately, we cannot get hold of Sister Tasneem. There seems to be a problem with the line, the cell phone number, and the landline. Okay, let's try again. Usama says maybe he's got her back online now. Assalamu alaikum, Tasneem.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Mara. How are you?
Oh, alhamdulillah, that's much better. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for joining us this afternoon, Tasneem.
It's a pleasure.
Okay, like I said to my listeners earlier on, we're discussing bidding farewell to the Hujjaj, a symbol of love. And Sister Fahima is in the studio with me and you online. And I know the Cape Malay community have a very special way of bidding farewell to the Hujjaj. So let's actually start off with Sister Fahima, Tasneem. Fahima, tell us about this whole bidding farewell ceremony that actually the Cape Malay community actually put farewell to.
Sister Amara, the departure of the Hujjaj is often a wonderful atmosphere of tears and smiles and du'as, which accompany hugs and greetings and well wishes that the Hujjaj take with them. They have a meet and greet, and it's done with much enthusiasm by both those who have never been for Hajj and for those who have. There's so much emotion that every person will have a tear in their eye. The evening before the Hujjaj leaves, all the elders in the family, they assist and they roll the clothing into thin layers, and each elder then is assisting the Hujjaj in packing the Hujjaj's bag.
Okay.
The evening will conclude with refreshments, which are welcome from all the family, friends, and from neighbors as well.
Alhamdulillah, lovely. Now, Tasneem, many Hujjaj are preparing to embark on a journey of a lifetime Hajj. Some have already left, some are still going, and some have already been. Now, the celebration that actually takes place is, you know, to send off the Hujjaj. Now, how is the send off done? You know, the traditional send off, how is it done, Tasneem?
The actual send-off starts, I'd say, maybe when the Hajj accreditation starts already, because the excitement starts building up from then, and all the family members are then notified that you're going to be leaving, and the hype actually starts picking up from then. So maybe, although it's just maybe that weekend, that the festivities happen, but weeks before the time, family and friends are already starting to visit and starting to create the atmosphere for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen is that you'd then go and greet all your family and friends, and they'd then be offering to come and visit and bring bakes and treats for the weekend, and then make it lighter also for the family on that weekend. So they'll all start coming and visiting. And then normally a lunch would take place maybe that weekend before you leave. And they would then partake in all the festivities.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Now, I'm going to ask Fahima, what type of food is actually served in this whole, send-off, the lunch, either the supper or the lunch before they actually depart?
Normally they would have a breakfast. The breakfast would consist of pies and samosas and normally tea and cake, something sweet. Nothing too very fancy, but just something that would be accommodating for everybody and for everybody to be partaking in the send-off.
Mm-hmm. And then, Taslim, are the foods prepared by those that's going for Hujjat at their home? Taslim, can you hear me?
Gee, I can.
Okay.
Normally, family and friends who take up the responsibility of doing all the catering and then making it easier for the future Haji who was going to be leaving. So you wouldn't actually be doing cooking or any preparations in your house, but your family would take over that responsibility. Also, after the main luncheon that would happen the week before, the days that happen after that, you'd have preset tables that would be set permanently, really, because you're going to be getting family and friends over throughout those days preceding your actual departure. So those tables would then be set with like traditional type of things, such as your dried fruits and your meatballs and your preserved fruits, or your confetti of figs and watermelon. And that would be set alongside a new chevreuse and house chevreuse and all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite something that's evolved, and it's become something that people look forward to actually sitting around and nibbling and taking part in creating the excitement around before your actual departure.
Jazakallah for that, Taslim. Fahima, now who actually helps the Hajis actually pack their bag?
So Samara, it would normally be all the elders of the Hujjaj, the friends, family, in the family, they would all come together, but normally all the elders would come together
mm-hmm.
and assist the Hujjaj in packing their bags.
Is there anything specific that they actually take with them that I know, on Thursday's program I asked, what do the Durbanites take, the Joburgers take, the Gautengers, I know they take biltong, and Durbanites take something else. And I don't know, somebody actually, in fact my sister mentioned, she said, no, Cape Townians take meatballs and butter pups. So is there anything else, out of the ordinary that actually Cape Townians actually take with them?
I think most people, Sister Mara, love to take biltong. That is something that no South African would leave,
mm-hmm.
without taking a piece of biltong with them.
Mm-hmm. And then, Taslim, over to you. Now, a few days before the Hujjaj actually depart, does anybody come and stay over and assist them?
I think the closest of family, maybe if you have sisters or relatives, cousins, they'll probably stay over and assist wherever they can. So you don't actually have to take care of the daily responsibilities of your household, but your family will take over and make it easier for you. The other thing I'd like to mention is that the actual send-off, the Hajj send-off, is not specific only to the Cape Malay community, but it's been embraced by all communities across Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tradition that everyone follows, and it's actually something that's so exciting and heartwarming that everybody wants to partake in it. So it's not limited to the Cape Malay community in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm. What about the female Haji actually that's, I think I heard that she actually put some madaura on?
Yes, that would be upon return from Hajj, where you'd buy your midora, which is a very fancy beaded scarf that you'd buy, and that is something that's treasured and also used then at a later stage for weddings and also for baby name givings.
Mm-hmm.
That's another whole topic and also very exciting as well. So the lady would then come back from Hajj wearing her, most of the time I'd say, a white or a pale-colored robe, and she'd be reading her Midora, and they actually race on the plane. So like maybe in Joburg, they'd get off and dress up all fancy. So by the time they get to Cape Town, they all dress up and the family is ready to welcome them at the airport.
Mm-hmm, yes. Now, Fema can perhaps come in here. You know, the Cape Malay community, this very traditional way of bidding farewell to the Hojaj, how many years does it actually go back?
I think it's quite a long time. Think back, or not that I'm that old, but just speaking to my parents as well, there is actually quite a very long procedure, but there is a few things that rituals that take place just before departure. And the one thing is obviously your nafal salah before you leave your house.
Mm.
And then a family member, a very close family member, or the imam of the area,
mm-hmm.
would then make a dua before leaving, and also a zan takes place. Mm-hmm. I think that's become more of a ritual than anything. I'm not too sure I don't think there is actually quite a background to it, but apparently what used to happen was when the hajis used to leave by ship in those years, the azan used to be the signal of departure.
Oh.
So just before departure, azan would go, and that's when everybody would be boarding, and it is actually like now time to go. That was the signal for the time to go.
Right. Tasneem, your closing remarks. Do you know if anyone any more input you want to share with us on this really lovely bidding farewell to the Hujjaj, a symbol of love?
These actually the departure also goes together with the return, and it's quite the same sort of procedure that happens when the Hajis return from Hajj. The family gets very excited and they start preparing. They maybe have a meeting and have prepare another get together for the return of the Haji, where they'd actually make a banner and decorate the house and bake a special Hajj Mabrur cake for the returning Hajis, and they'd have the same sort of welcome back for the Hajis upon their return. So inshallah, we hope that Allah Ta'ala grants the Hajis a safe trip, inshallah, and grant us also the invitation and opportunity to partake in a suspicious journey, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen, ameen.
Ameen.
Tasneem, jazakallah khair for joining us. I really appreciate you sharing this. You know, I've always been so interested in the Cape Malay community, actually, how to actually put farewell to the Hujjaj. I've heard from my mommy, I've heard from many of our family, you know, I've heard from Apa Fahima so much here as well. So Electra actually wanted, you know, to bring it on air. Just, you know, it is so nice, you know, putting farewell to the Hujjaj. And then welcoming them back home again. It is so, so, so nice. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and for sharing in the burqa of the returning Hujjaj as well.
Absolutely. Jazakallah khair, Tasneem. Assalamu alaikum. You know, Fahima also, you know, I think the mothers also get very emotional when they actually have to leave their small kids behind, you know. So I'm going to dedicate this nazm to all the mummies out there that's leaving their children behind and going for Hajj. So stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be discussing more about putting farewell to the Hujjaj. Stay tuned.
Jo main bata raha hoon, dil se kehta hoon. Kima hai puri duniya jo main bata raha hoon dil se kehta hoon kima hai puri duniya what a say from my heart that my mother is my world wo mujhko khilayi wo mujhko pilayi wo mujhko achhi tarah samjhayi She nurtured me and made me understand.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am Sister Amara, and in the studio with me is Sister Fayima. Assalamu alaikum, Fayima, and welcome back.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Amara.
You know, it's such a nice feeling, you know, when you actually put farewell to the Hujjaj, a symbol of love. And I actually quite like the way the Cape Malay community actually does it. Fayima, have you actually been to many of this ways, you know, the celebrations, you know, of sending off, you know?
Yes, Apa Amara, I have been, and it's a very joyous and very happy occasion. Mm. Someone that has never been for Hajj, you will definitely shed a tear, and you know, your heart really goes with the Hujjaj that's leaving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think that is, when the Hujjaj steps off the plane, the first words that would come to the Hujjaj's lips would be labaik, Allahumma labaik. You know, as every year has come to bid farewell to our Hajjaj, you know, who have prepared for their journey to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Fayima, somebody actually sent me a message on WhatsApp to say, what is a madaura? Can you explain what is a madaura?
A madaura is a very beautiful piece of material that has got a lot of gold and silver, and it is only coming from Makkah, right?
Mm.
So what happens is the Hujjaj bring that Midora back home, and with that, all the young girls that normally get married, they are the ones that particularly wear Midora.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And I think that probably goes back now, many, many years back, when, you know, actually the Hujjaj used to go with a ship, and they used to actually dress up. And I know they actually mostly wear white.
Yeah, they normally always wore white, and the Midora was draped beautifully over the Hujjaj's head. And for normally also for a young girl that's getting married, they would wear the Midora.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Fayima, did you partake of any of the ceremonies that you have to prepare? You have to actually prepare it.
Yes, Apa Amara, I have been involved, and it is very timeless and very consuming, and but you know, you don't really think about that. You think about the trip and the journey of the Hujjaj, and you want to make it as beautiful and a success, you know, as possible, so that you can send the Hujjaj off, you know, with good wishes.
Inshallah, inshallah, yes. Ameen. And then what about the children? Who takes care of the children now, you know? I think they must be so emotional that day.
Yeah, normally you find the grandparents or aunts or uncles that would be there for the Hujjaj, you know. That is a great a support system for the Hujjaj.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose the day they come back after the Hajj, you know, do you have to prepare certain types of meals for them?
Yes, normally when the Hujjaj arrives, it's another emotional period as well, you know. And that is a whole another whole issue on its own, you know.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Well, we've come to the end of a lovely program. I think the time just went by so quickly. And like I said, this is actually my last Tuesday program. And Sister Zakira will be sitting in for me. But Thursday is actually my final program. So before I undertake the journey of Hajj. And yes, so inshallah, we will be talking again on Thursday morning with the Household Express. And Apa Zinat and I will be doing the pot course recipes as well. And then we're going to be doing also some more hints and tips and play some lovely nizams and then produce farewell as well. Jazakallah Fayima, it's been a lovely program, very informative. I've learned so much, you know.
See, alhamdulillah.
And I think
wonderful.
Different, like the Indonesians and the Malaysians also, they also have different ways of putting farewell to the Hujjaj as well. And this is actually specifically more South African, the Cape Malay community, and a very nice way of putting farewell, and you actually call it a symbol of love. So, Jazakallah Fayima,
you've
given me a great insight to this, and I say Jazakallah to you again once again.
Yes.
Well, from me, Amara and Fayima, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.